And we're joined right now by somebody you know I've got profound respect for. He is a Yahoo Sports columnist. He is a New York Times bestselling author. He is the EP of Killer Inside, Aaron Hernandez, Netflix doc. He is the author of the Epic Athlete series. He is co-host of the College Football Inquirer. My man's been known to toss back a Bush Light or two. Friend of the program, he is Dan Wetzel. What's going on, Dan? How are you?
Bush Light or three.
My man, that's what I'm saying. I didn't want to say that, but time, okay. Man. That works.
Dead. How you feeling? Winter, you got to do it, man.
Got to do it. How you doing? How's life?
I'm good. How are you?
Good.
I'm excellent. I'm glad you cleared out the troubles before my thing there.
Yeah, I tried.
But everyone's safe.
I tried, but it only encourages them, so you can only do what you can do. Hey, listen, I don't know about you, but I'm still coming to terms with that weekend of football, and there are a number of things I want to talk to you about, but why don't we start with Matthew Stafford? Tom Brady and Aaron Rodgers are getting a lot of attention right now, but what did you make of the way Stafford delivered in the final minute on Sunday?
I mean, well, it was brilliant, right? I mean, 45 seconds to go, and you take them downfield. Other than Patrick Mahomes, that's impressive. But it's what Stafford's been waiting to show and what he's been hoping for his whole career. He spent a dozen years in Detroit. He led 39 fourth quarter comebacks. The amazing thing is they only won like 78 games there. So almost half his games were fourth quarter comebacks. But, you know, they weren't in the playoffs. They weren't big games. They never won a division. And he's a guy everyone knew had a ton of talent and put up big numbers. But the question was, can he do it in a big game? Is he just a guy who does really, really well on a team with no expectations? It's one thing to lead a comeback when you're on a 6-10 team. It's another to do it on the road against the defending champs and Tom Brady over there. And he made the play, made the right call, made the right understanding of the mistakes that Tampa was in, and made the right decision to go to basically his fourth option, which is Cooper Kupp deep. And he threw a perfect pass to him and hit him and got everyone down there and spiked it and won the game. This is what Stafford always believed he could do, and this is what the Rams believed he could do when they traded for him. So I thought it was a huge legacy moment for Matthew Stafford.
We're talking to Dan Wetzel. So what about that, Dan? Those questions that you had pointed out and posed that have existed for so long about him, did he in fact then answer all of those questions? And now do we see him now in a different light? Is he there or does he still have more work to do?
I mean, he probably has more work to do, but he certainly, I don't think, he's just going to get written off as a guy, well, you never won a playoff game. He didn't just quarterback a team that won a playoff game. He won them the playoff game, which is what you want out of a quarterback. And they very easily could have just faded, gone to overtime. You don't know. That coin flip goes whatever way. You don't want Tom Brady with that ball and you lose. It wasn't him who had four fumbles. I guess the snap was technically blamed on him, but that errant snap, I don't think really was his fault. So, you know, does he answer and you sit there and go, oh, this is a Hall of Famer or this is one of the elite guys? No, but he eliminated the doubt that he can do it. Obviously Sunday and this, the rest of this season, if it goes two games for the Rams, are instrumental on that. But I do think people should have a different view of him. He was a really good quarterback in Detroit. He did a really good job in sometimes bad positions. Could he have done better at times? Absolutely. Should they have won a playoff game or won a division at some point in that run? Probably. But the swing of he's good enough or he's just a stat guy, that never really was accurate. That was a great play by him on Sunday.
We're talking to Dan Wetzel. So, Dan, bottom line, like, the Rams took an enormous swing when they brought him in. They got Von Miller. They got Jalen Ramsey. If the Rams don't win on Sunday, you referenced the next two games. If they don't win on Sunday and they don't win a Super Bowl, was the trade for Stafford still a success?
Yeah, I mean, I would think so. They have a belief that late first-round draft picks don't have the same value that other people put on them. And when you're going to have the records that if you do what you're expected with the Rams right now, you're picking 28 or later. Or 20, they're going to pick 29, 30, 31, or 32. So that pick that they're giving now to Detroit has much, you know, it loses value. And they just don't see that as this huge thing. So I think it's still a successful trade for them because I don't know that Jared Goff would have won them that game on Saturday.
And if that's the case, then what are you trying to do here? I like the Rams mentality. I think as a fan, you would like the Rams mentality of saying, let's try to win. We've got Aaron Donald here. Let's build around him. We've got a good quarterback. We got Cooper Kupp and Aaron Donald. Let's make this, get the best quarterback we can get, and then let's get some help for Aaron Donald, make him even better. They've got a loaded team. Let's try to win. I like that mentality rather than sitting there saying, having a GM who's so worried that they're holding on to the 30th pick in the draft. 230 picks for Jared Goff and a third for Matthew Stafford is going to be a good deal for them.
Hey, listen, for the record, I could not respect it or love it any more than I do. I love that mentality. I love it. Not everybody wants to win. It costs money to win. People are afraid to win. I absolutely love that mentality. So let me ask you about this.
I'll say this, Rome. One thing that fans miss a lot with GMs is being a general manager in any sport, you takes a long time in your career. You start as like a scout or you know, the cream and sugar for the coffee guy, right? You don't make a lot of money. And when you get to the GM, you start making money. And there is a lot of general managers in all over sports that sit there and say, how do I get another contract? How do I keep this job for 7-8 years? Not how do I win? Fans automatically think the number one and only motivation of every person in a front office is how do I win a title? Because that's the motivation of fans. That isn't always the motivation. It doesn't get said, but you can see it in how people just sort of tread water and hope they're the GM for 11 years and they walk off with a ton of money.
Dude, that's part of why you are who you are. I love that point. I love that take. It's funny, right? Like, you always hear about players trying to find a way to play for, it's not that first contract, it's your second contract. We're talking about GMs trying to GM for their second contract, mm-hmm. not their first contract. I think that's a great point that you make. So the Rams win that game, and then in the aftermath, there is all of a sudden, and it wasn't even the aftermath, Dan, it started before the game, this notion and the speculation that maybe Tom Brady has played his final game. When you look at his production this season and his durability over the years, was there any part of you that was thinking that that might be it?
Not really. Only because the only two things that, you know, you point to is, one, he's 44, so every time it's a fair question. The other is, does he think he can win the Super Bowl next year in Tampa? That's the only motivation for Tom Brady. He's not playing for money or fame or anything else or stats. And so then you sit there and say, okay, well, what if it's not in Tampa? You know, what if it's in San Francisco? What if it's somewhere else? Who knows? Who knows what Tom Brady's going to do? He can do anything he wants. It's Tom Brady. But there's nothing in his game that makes you say he's not doing it. The durability, he hasn't missed a game since 2009 due to injury. He had the 4-game Deflategate suspension in 2016. And even with that, he has the longest active start streak of any quarterback in the NFL. You know, it's absurd. He's 44. He's got the Iron Man streak going right now. And he hasn't missed one since 2009 for injury. He had a very good, you look at Pro Football Focus, which I really like, it has, you know, a lot of the advanced stats, top three in all sorts of them. So he's top three MVP. I think he can come back, no question. I think he will. You know, he always at the end, there's been a lot of attention in the last 24 hours. He said, oh, I'm going to talk about my family. He kind of says that stuff every year. So
right.
I think he'll probably be back. But at 44, you just don't know. But he said he wanted to play for 45, and all he's got to do now is show up at training camp. He's going to be 45.
So, Dan, if the ring is the thing, and you wrote about this, like, if Chris Godwin's healthy, then Tampa Bay's got weapons. But as you write, Gronk is getting older. Tampa Bay brought back everybody from last year for this year. So it would only be tougher to do next year. If the ring is the thing, do you think Tampa Bay affords him the best opportunity, or might he find it someplace else?
Well, I mean, I think that's something he will look at. He may not say that out loud, but I think that's something he would look at. Put it this way, what if the Niners want to move on from Garoppolo? And I'm just making this up, okay? This is a complete speculation. But, you know, they're not sold on Garoppolo. They're going to go with Trey Lance at some point. What if it's like, hey, Tom, 1 year, come home, back to your hometown. You grew up a 49er fan. You're the quarterback next year. This team is loaded. We get one more year, Trey Lance. And you know what, Trey? You're going to learn under Tom Brady for you. Not a bad situation if all that happens, and I don't know if all that stuff would happen, but you could see a scenario where you go, yeah, that makes a lot of sense right there. So he's Tom Brady. He's plug and play. He brings a culture. He may bring Gronk with him. He may bring other guys with him. You don't know. Very, very attractive, needless to say, free agent if you want to win next year. I wouldn't sit there and I wouldn't give him much more than one more year, but that might be something that would make him pretty interested.
I don't think that's so far-fetched. That makes sense. Dan Wetzel joining me for another moment or so. One more thing. You had a piece on the Buffalo-Kansas City game in the final 13 seconds. I mean, you understand what that part of the country is like. You understand what that team means to those fans. You understand what those fans have been through. What kind of a scar, what kind of scar tissue are those 13 seconds going to leave the Bills players and the Bills Mafia?
Yeah, Bills Mafia, I mean, look, that's as painful of a loss as I've ever seen. Bills fans are conditioned to know that hope is a dangerous thing. So you never hope. You never assume we've got this game won. We're going to win. We're going to host the AFC Championship game. We're going to win the Super Bowl because I think we got the best player on the planet, Josh Allen. And if this team could beat Kansas City, we could beat all these other guys, right? It is a dangerous thing for a Bills fan. So they know. They teach their children, do never believe. But when you are leading by 3 points with 13 seconds left, how do you not believe? You relax. You make the mistake and you go, we're going to win. You check for StubHub for tickets. You start thinking about how we can beat Cincinnati and we can beat this NFC stuff. We're going to win the Super Bowl. And then, boom, the sucker punch comes in a way that none of us have ever seen. And all of a sudden it collapses. I did a story through their local sports radio at 5:50 a.m. up there, WGR, and the morning show, Howard Simon and Jeremy White. And, you know, they got on at 6 in the morning. You know, the game ends at 10. Guys had stayed up all night waiting for sports talk radio to begin so they could start calling in and go through and try to begin the stages of grief, the denial, the anger, the venting, all this stuff. It was a crazy sports radio show on Monday morning in Buffalo, as you imagine. These guys were the mass grief counseling for Western New York. And so you just got to feel bad for these guys. And they got to hear everyone else go, that was one of the greatest games ever. Wasn't that exciting? Yeah, it wasn't exciting in Buffalo.
Well, I agree with you. I don't think there's another fan base quite like that, and every fan base says that about their fan base, but I really believe there's not another fan base like the Mafia, and I know there's not another fan base that's gone through what they've gone through. Let me finally ask you this. Like, organizationally, it's one thing for the fans to have to endure and deal with this, but from an organizational standpoint, as an example, it seems like the Seahawks never really recovered from losing that Super Bowl to the Patriots in the final seconds. How do you expect the Bills to respond to this loss? I mean, how do you recover from something like that?
It's a huge thing. You can't just run it back. And you know, they're probably going to have some changes on the coaching staff just because people are getting jobs and things like that. But it is something that they need to absolutely address. Now, look, they have Josh Allen. They have a lot of good players. And you should be okay with that. That will start with that. You have Josh Allen, I'm going to like your chances in the next 10 years. But it is a thing. And you wonder about the doubt with coaches. Like, all of it has to be addressed. They'll probably never tell us all the truth, but in that locker room, because the players won't even know, why didn't we squib kick? Shouldn't we squib kick? Why do we do this? Why were we in that defensive formation? Why did we not cover Travis Kelce on the final play? Like, it was going to two guys. How do we not guard Hill, and how do we not guard Kelce? What were we doing? And all of that has to absolutely be addressed, or it takes on a life of its own. Football teams are big organizations. There's lots of players, and it's because and everyone scatters. And if I'm Sean McDermott, I am trying to meet every single player directly, individually, and as a group, and try to get over this as fast as possible, because the longer it simmers, those losses are gut-wrenching, and those players gave everything they had, and it didn't happen. And I'm not saying they'll tune out the coach, or maybe they tune out another player. You just don't know. That was I don't mean to overstate it, but these words, that was a trauma for an organization, and you have to address that trauma.
Oh, no, I think you're right. I think it was traumatic for sure. So really quickly, like, Dan, if you're Sean McDermott, if you had to guess, does he pull everybody aside and say, we will not let this define us? Or if you're a player, are you looking for something more from him? Are you looking for the coach to say, we let you down, I let you down? Do they need to see ownership, if you had to guess, or does he just tell them, we're not going to let this define us, we will move on?
I think this is where a coach is at is actually most valuable. Some guys will be like, fine, that's it, we're not going to get defined, and that's enough for them. Other guys are going to want to know why. Why did we make that decision? And maybe it's, look, and they're going to want that accountability of, I made a mistake, or I didn't communicate this, or this player didn't listen, or I don't know what happened, right? All we know is that 13 seconds they drove down the field and kicked the field goal. And the team was shell-shocked. I mean, once that, the defense had no chance on that final drive. They were absolutely shell-shocked. The way the Falcons were in that 28-3 game, or, you know, again, the Seattle's never quite recovered. You need to find a way to connect with every one of your players and everyone in your organization. It is a big challenge. It is a big challenge for Sean McDermott, but you have to do it. Some guys aren't really going to care. They're just going to be like, all right, moving on, next thing. Some guys are going to care deeply.
I think shell-shocked is a perfect description for it, and there is an awesome responsibility ahead of them. He is a Yahoo Sports columnist. He is a New York Times bestselling author. If you haven't seen it already, he is the EP of Killer Inside, Aaron Hernandez Netflix doc. Also the author of the Epic Athlete series. On top of all of that, a co-host of the College Football Inquirer, Dan Wetzel, my guest. Dan, really appreciate it, as always. Thank you so much for doing it.
Thanks, Rom. Always fun.
Talk to you too. Always fun, Dan. Always fun. Profound respect.